It's good to be here again. Good to be with you. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to John chapter number 10 this morning. John chapter number 10. And so my name is Elijah Helms. My family back there with us, my wife Natalie, and our four kids, Samuel, Josie, Evie, and Gideon. And I have to practice those names and make sure I get them right when I get up here in front of everybody. No, I'm just kidding. And it's good to be back here. I enjoy being with your church. We're part of your church, your pastor and his family there at the tent meeting. And I enjoy being around them. And I appreciate you sharing with us there at the tent meeting. But I appreciate being here this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I just read the note here. I didn't read this. See that earlier. The labor preach like this is the last time you ever preach. I appreciate that. I missed that earlier. John chapter 10. I'm going to go read a few verses here. I normally like to preach on missions. And my heart's missions. But this passage here is a little bit different. For a missionary anyway, I'm deputation. But this is where my heart's at this morning. And I can't get away from it. And I believe it's where the Lord would have us to be. It's kind of a prerequisite to missions, I guess you could say. We're going to start there in verse number 1. I'm going to read down all the way down through verse number 21. Verse number 1, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Let's pray. Pastor, would you up something in prayer this morning?
Father, what a privilege, God, to be here today. Thank you for all that are able to come and those that are zoomed in, Lord, watching the service. And God, we sure do need a touch from heaven today, God. We need the Holy Spirit of God to do a work for amongst us that can't be done by man. And so we rely upon you today. We ask God to take control of the helms, God. Use them in a great way as thy mouthpiece today, your preacher. I pray, God, you speak to our hearts. And God, as he's headed the field of missions, God, and we here as well have a job to do along the same lines. Help us, dear God. Encourage us today. God, might there be a lost soul among us. God, I pray that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, we might be born again. And for all of us that are saved, stir us up today, God. Help today to be everything you want it to be. Just to grab our attention today for thy glory. And you're working in our lives. Help now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This passage here, as we've already read, it's a very deep passage. There's a lot going on in this passage, a lot of doctrine to be covered in this passage, and there's some of that we're going to have to get through here as an introduction, but if I say anything, I don't intend to, and I don't believe I will, but if I say anything in contrary to your pastor, then I am wrong, and your pastor is correct. But we're going to try not to do that this morning, but there's a lot of false beliefs that some folks have about this passage. The Calvinists, I'm pointing some of these verses and try to use them to prove that God chose them to be saved over somebody else. And we know that's just a lie from the devil is what that is. It's all it can be. But something understanding this passage here, Jesus lives outside of time. In this passage, he's speaking while he's here on earth. This is his words here. Many of these verses are his words. But Jesus is God. He always has been God, always will be God. He was not partially God. He was 100% God and 100% man while he's here on earth. So he knew everything all the time. He didn't know. He didn't learn more things. He has known it all from beginning of time, before time was. He always has been, always has known. So Jesus lives outside of time. He knows here on earth, he knew what was going to happen. He knew what had happened, what was going to happen in the future. He knew it all while he's here on earth. He still knows it here today. So today he can look down and he can see us today. He can see Adam and Eve in the garden. He can see Noah in the ark. He can see David on the roof about the sin. He can see John on the Isle of Patmos. He can see all those things if he wants to at the same time. So you understand that while we come to this passage, you understand what's going on. Save you from a lot of false doctrine there. See God's point of view. So anyway, quickly as an introduction here, we're going to look at what this passage says and then take a step back and look at two main points that Jesus makes here in this passage. He says two main things. He says them both twice. He says, I am the door. He says, I am the shepherd. And we're going to look at both of those here this morning. This is a little bit different here, but the Lord's going to try my best to preach on this thought, on who is he to you? Jesus can be a lot of things to a lot of people. Who is he to you? For the past several months now, both there in Alaska and in my own personal life here, I feel like I've been dwelling on this statement, it's all about him. That's kind of what I talked about there in Sunday school. It's all about him. It keeps popping up in my own study. It pops up. I hear other men preaching other songs. It's all about him. The song this morning, it matters to the master. It's all about him, about what he can do. It's all about him. Just look to him. It's not going to be any different here this morning. This message, it's all about him. The whole thing, the chapter is all about him. It always has been. If you come looking for anything else this morning, you got the wrong preacher because it's all about him this morning. He is really all that matters. Yeah. That's a big, bold statement to make. Well, it's the truth. He is really the only thing that really matters. It's all about him, about his will, what he wants, his glory. If you knew him, and I'm not trying to be proud, if you knew him like I know him, right, and you can, you see where you can see him from my point of view. See who he is to you. I'm nothing special, but he can be real to you. Yeah. Is he real to you this morning? That's what we're going to try to talk about here in a few minutes. That's what we're trying to get to anyway. Before we get in too deep here in this chapter number 10, let's step back to chapter number 9. And chapter number 9, maybe you've studied that before. There's a lot going on in John chapter number 9. There's several messages you can preach out of John chapter 9. That one thing there, the blind man, he says, this one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. You can preach all over that in the gospel. But John gives us this story in John chapter 9. He gives us a story of the blind man, blind from his birth. And the man that Jesus saw while he's passing through the crowd, they're trying to stone him. There's a message there. And then chapter number 8, the Pharisees and other Jews are attending to stone Jesus. They want to murder Jesus for his preaching there. And people believing on him, trying to put a stop to it. They want to murder Jesus. Right. So he hides himself and passes through the midst of them because it was not yet his time. And they can't do anything he don't allow them to do. So he passed through the midst of him. The end of chapter number 8, in the last verse of chapter number 8, it says, and then took they stones to cast him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And I was reading through that, and so passed by. And then the very next verse, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. So in the middle of Jesus' attempted murder, he sees a blind man that needs Jesus. We don't have any excuses for not looking for the blind man. You can preach on that this morning too. There's a lot going on in these few chapters here, as you can see. There's a lot of stuff that points to man. We always like to focus on ourselves, but oftentimes we get so caught up in ourselves, I'm afraid we miss the opportunity to reach the blind man. Very easy to do. Miss the opportunity to be looking for the blind man. That's not what I'm preaching here this morning, but there's a message there as well. But we see Jesus heals that man's blindness in the beginning of chapter number 9. You can try to slow down. I talk fast and preach faster. I'm nervous. I'm going to try to slow down a little bit. So Jesus heals a man's blindness in chapter number 9. He heals a man's physical blindness. He heals his spiritual blindness as well there at the end of the middle of the chapter. And it creates quite the uproar with the Jews that day. Some said that Jesus was a devil. He said again in this chapter. Others said he can't be a devil because he healed this man's blindness. So nobody's ever done that before. So they go to the blind man's parents. They say they begin to interrogate his parents. His parents throw their son under the bus. He said, basically said, he's a grown man. Go and ask him. It's paraphrasing. So they throw the son under the bus, and the Pharisees go to the blind man. He says, I've already told you. Why are you asking me? Are you going to be his disciples also? It's how he talks to the Pharisees. So there's all this turmoil going on in chapter number 9. And then Jesus comes to him in the end of chapter 9. The man believes on Jesus and gets saved. I'm not trying to preach that today. I'm trying to give you a little introduction to what's going on as we come into chapter number 9, come into chapter number 10. Jesus is preaching chapter number 10. It's just a continuation of everything that's been going on for the past few chapters. A lot has taken place. Jesus comes to a blind man there in the temple. Jesus says, dost thou believe in the Son of God? He says, I guess you call him the unblind man at this point. He says, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus tells him, it is he that talketh with thee. And the man believes. He said, Lord, I believe. Called him Lord. Lord, I believe. He got saved. Man's physical blindness was healed. Spiritual blindness was healed. And the Pharisees come to Jesus. They want to be saved too. They said, and what does Jesus say to them? They said, what do you, in verse number 1, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. They're unwilling to admit their faults, unwilling to admit their blindness, unwilling to admit their helpless state and sin. Therefore, they could not be saved. You can't get saved till you realize you're lost. You got to get lost first before you can get saved. And the Pharisees are refusing to admit they're lost. And there's a lot of truth in that there. So as we go in chapter number 10, Jesus just told these Pharisees that unless they admit they are blind without him, they will remain blind without him. And Jesus continues his preaching here to these Jews in chapter number 10. So these Pharisees, these Jews, are not very happy, as you can imagine. Jesus told them they're going to die blind without Christ if they don't believe in him. So they're not happy. Starting here in verse number 1, John here in the Apostle, the Gospel of John, uses these verily, verilys in the book of John. It's the only book to use those, verily, verily. It says it twice. That means stop and pay attention to what I'm about to say. Verse number 1, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. So there's only one way into the fold of God, into the sheepfold. It makes it very simple. Only one way into the sheepfold of God, only one way for the shepherd to come into the sheepfold. He says to these Jews, you're only going to get in one way. The shepherd's only going to come in one way. If you climb it some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, you can't come any way but through Jesus. He can't come any way but through the door. A thief being one who steals and stealth, the robber there, talks about those things. There are also some that would try to come to the sheepfold as leaders. Jesus rebukes those, as saviors, if you will. We still have those in our day. The Gospels in verse John, he calls them Antichrist, little a Antichrist. We have a lot of those in our day. Beware of the Antichrist today. And I understand there's one capital Antichrist coming to Revelation. There's a lot of those still today. Jesus calls them thieves and robbers. He has no use for them. Jesus says, you want to find the shepherd, look at the door. There's only one door. Yeah. Now, if you're not careful, these next few verses here, verses 2 through number 6, have been misunderstood. And we're going to take them all together here. Do not misunderstand them. Verse number 2. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So the shepherd comes in by the door. If you're going to find the shepherd, then watch the door. He's going to climb the walls. Verse 3. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. So what is going on here? Jesus is giving this parable, and they're not understanding here either. These Jews are not understanding what Jesus is talking about. Jesus explains to them, he says, those that try to climb in some other way, they are thieves and robbers. He that cometh in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So the true shepherd is not going to climb walls, not going to jump the fence, not going to dig a hole to get in. He's going to come in by the door. He says, if you're looking for the shepherd, then watch the door. That's what he says. This picture we have here is of a sheepfold. And these sheepfolds, from what I've studied, these sheepfolds in Bible times would be a big circle enclosure with rocks or thorns or branches they make to hold the sheep in. No roof, most likely just a big circle with only one door. And the shepherd would sit in the door, the guard to keep the sheep inside. We see that. This picture, we have the sheepfold here. So we have this picture here. The sheep are inside. More coming in all the time, with some already inside at this point. Jesus being outside of time, he can see those on the inside, those coming, and those that will come in all at the same time. He sees those here in this passage. Jesus, as we know, we already know that today, he is the shepherd of the sheep, but he enters in by the door. Jesus came the fold of Israel the proper way. He's one that fulfilled all the prophecies. He was no thief, or he's no robber. He had credentials, if you will, to be the shepherd. We just saw his care for the sheep and for the blind man in chapter number 9, and all those Pharisees throwing him under the bus like the thieves and robbers they were. Jesus entered in by the door. He says, if you want to find the shepherd, watch the door. And then Jesus enters in by the door. Jesus was no thief. He's no robber. He came in the fold of Israel the proper way, the right way. In fact, he was the only one that came in the right way and the only one that could fulfill all the things that had to be fulfilled in order to be the shepherd, the Savior of the world. He was born of a virgin. That was prophesied in Isaiah 7:14, and he fulfilled that. He was born in Bethlehem. It's prophesied in Micah 5:2, and he fulfilled that. Later on in Galatians, it talks about he had come in the fullness of time. He fulfilled that. Out of Egypt, God had called his son, Hosea 11:1. He fulfilled that. His arrival provoked anger in the enemy. And Jeremiah talked about that. Jeremiah 31:15. Jesus fulfilled that. So he was the right person, born in the right place at the right time, called from the right country, attended by the right sign. This is not just any old shepherd, not just any thief or robber. He entered in by the door. He is the door. He came in the right way. He is, in fact, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. He entered in by the door. He's the one they've been waiting. He's the Savior the Jews have been looking for, but yet they do not believe him. He's standing right in front of them. Jesus is telling these Jews, I've come in the right way. I've entered in by the door. I'm the shepherd of the sheep. I'm the Savior of the world. Others have tried to come in some other way. They're nothing more than thieves and robbers. He says, I'm the only one that could come in. I'm the only one that has come in. He's the only one. He's the only one that could do it, only one that did do it, only one that ever will do it. He entered in by the door. Verse 3 speaks of the porter opened the door. There's like, talk about that porter in the picture. It could be a picture of the Holy Spirit. It could be John the Baptist. Like, you can talk about that. It really doesn't matter exactly who he is. Jesus is the only one could be the one that the porter would open for, and the porter opened for him. The only one that could be the one that go through the door of Judaism. Jesus is the only one. The only one that could break through the barrier of the law. He's the only one. And call his sheep by name and then lead them out. He's the only one that could do that. And he did just that. Verse 4. And he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Those that believe in Jesus, he is the Son of God. They will follow him out of the law, of Judaism, into the relationship with Jesus Christ. And he's down the ground. All these things, the temple's going to be rent, the veil's going to be rent in two. They're going to follow him out of the sheepfold. It's going to want to follow him. He doesn't force them, any sheep, to follow him. He doesn't send the sheepdog in after him. They follow him because they know his voice. They love their shepherd. The shepherd has fulfilled all the credentials. Jesus says he entered in by the shepherd's going to enter in by the door, and he did enter in by the door. He's the only one the porter could open for, and he did open for. He has now come in, and the sheep know his voice, and they're following him. And you're all looking at me. I promise I'm going somewhere. I promise I'm trying to rush to get somewhere. Who are these sheep here? Well, all throughout history, people have trusted Christ and has counted them for righteousness. With Abraham, we talked about that this morning. But here recently in the scriptures, you have you have Nicodemus there, whether you believe that's saved in chapter 3 or later on. But you have the blind man in chapter number 9. You have the Samaritan woman in chapter number 4. All these folks that we read about, they have one thing in common. They believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Now they're in the sheepfold of God. That's who these people are. Just because you're a Jew didn't mean you were saved. So we didn't believe you're in Jesus. Still don't believe. Many of the Jews today still don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So it came in the sheepfold of Israel. And all those that are saved followed him out of the sheepfold into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now they're no longer in the sheepfold of Judaism and the law. They're sheepfold of Jesus Christ. He's telling them what's going to happen. He is the Savior of the world. Jesus is the only one. So Jesus has come. There's only one way into the sheepfold, and that's through the door. And Jesus came through the door. He's the only one that could come through. He's the one that could die on the cross for your sins. The only one that could do it, could die on the cross for your sins to actually have any success in it and wash away your sins. He's the only one that could do that. And he has done that. So he came. And if you're saved today, you know he knows you by name and you know his voice because you're saved. He knows the sheep by name. He can call them and respond because they know his voice. Do you know Jesus this morning? I hope I haven't lost yet. Amen. Jesus here is giving this parable. Verse number 6, they don't understand. They're probably looking like they're looking at me. So Jesus dives deeper and begins to explain some more things to them here. The point of view in this passage here is about to change. Jesus has now come. He's coming to sheepfold. The sheep know his voice. And then verse number 7, he changes points of view. He gives us another one of those verily, verily, as John does. And we have another one of Jesus' great I am statements here in the book of John. Jesus told Moses at the burning bush that I am and that I am have sent here in the book of John. He tells all these I am, seven different I ams that he is. Verse number 1, we see, not verse number 1, number 1, he says, I am the door. In verse number 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. There's a door and a porter in the first few verses. In the Old Testament, they had the law. And that door and a porter and the law and the priest and the prophet, all these things, pieces had to take place. And they had their sacrifices they had to make and all these things they had to do right and had to be done perfectly in order and done correctly or else they would die if they did not do it correctly. They have a door and a porter. Jesus is the only one that the right credentials, the only one that could enter in as the shepherd. He has come in through the door. He fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the prophecies. And he says, I am the door of the sheep. No longer a door and a porter. Jesus came in through the door, and now he is the door, he says. He says, I entered in by the door. Now he says, I am the door. A little something's changed here. No longer rituals, no longer sacrifices, no longer the blood of goats and rams and oxen and turtle doves, just Jesus. Just the blood of Jesus. Just Jesus, the shepherd. Just Jesus, the door. He says, I am the door. What else does he say in verse number 8? All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but they sheep did not hear them. Others have tried. This speaking of not speaking of men like Moses and Abraham, those point to Christ. Talking about these false prophets. Paul calls them grievous wolves in Acts chapter 20. These false prophets. Jesus says again in verse number 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He says again, I am the door. He entered in by the door, but now he is the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the only way. He says, I am the door. He's the door. If you come through him, he says, you shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. You shall be. That's a promise. You remember in Psalms 23, he's making me to lie down in green pastures. And what a good shepherd he is, and we'll get to that in a minute. But he came in the right way. He's the only one that could do it. He was enough to do away with the door. He stands as a door himself. He's a shepherd standing as a door himself, welcoming those who believe into the sheepfold of God. Have you ever been through the door? Have you ever been saved this morning?
Amen.
Are you saved? Has there ever been a specific time in your life when you said, Lord, in me I can do you? Ever been a specific time in your life you realized you were lost and on your way to hell? Have you ever realized you were a nobody on your way to hell? If you haven't, then you probably still are. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever been through the door? If you haven't been through the door, if you have not been born again, Jesus tells Nicodemus there, he says, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, a picture of perfection to most of the religious people there. He says, ye must be born again. It don't matter how good you are, you must be saved. You must be born again. In fact, if you're not born again, you will spend eternity in a place called hell. He says, that's rude, preacher. That's the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must come through the door. And Jesus is the only door. He's the door. He says, I am the door. He's the only way you're getting into heaven. He's it. He's the only way. I am the truth, life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I am the door. Look at this next verse. Again, it'd be kind of a turning point of this passage, verse number 10. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. The thief comes in some other way. He's in for nothing but to steal and to kill and destroy. There are thieves and robbers that come in, wolves in sheep's clothing. Be careful of those. I had a preacher tell me, he said, beware. He said, don't confuse sheepdogs with wolves. Be careful who you let in. Others will try to come in. But what did Jesus say? He says, I am come that might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus gives life. We understand eternal life. He is life. Without him, there is no life. But he gives a lot more than just life. He says, I give up abundant life. There's a lot more to this. I'm trying to be careful. There's a lot more to this life, if I can say it like this, than just being saved. Being saved is the best thing that's ever happened to me. And it will be the best thing that's ever happened to you. If you're not saved, it will be. If you are saved, it is. But there's a lot more to this life than just being saved and never doing anything else for the Lord. He doesn't just give life. He gives abundant life. He doesn't save you to sit in the pew and never do anything else about your Christian life. He saves you to serve. He saves you to get busy about his work. Being saved is not the end of your life. Being saved is the beginning of your life. It's not game over after you're saved. It's just the beginning. Getting saved is the beginning. It's the same with Christ. I feel like there's a lot of Christians out there that say that they're hanging their heads and just going through the motions many times. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir here. Maybe I am. But there's a lot of people like that today. And, oh, I can't do this anymore because now I'm saved. And I can't talk that way anymore because now I can't drink that or smoke that or whatever it is anymore because now I'm saved. Maybe the preacher will see me and I'll get in trouble. Whatever it is, there's a lot of things. There are a lot of things you should give up. You should not be living in sin. Understand that. The Lord will work those things out. You remove the sin out of your life. The Holy Spirit put himself in the place of it. Be a whole lot more abundant life after that. But Jesus says these things, living for the Lord, being saved, it's just the beginning. Not only life, but abundant life, Jesus says. I was talking to another missionary friend of mine in Alaska, in Juneau. He says, isn't it an amazing thing, the things the Lord lets us see and do and be in a place like this? And no offense to you, but I'd much rather be in Alaska than Indiana. I love Alaska. It's a beautiful, there's nothing in my mind, nothing that compares to being in a place like that. It's a beautiful place. But who else gets to live in a place like that and do things like that, ever go to a, most people never get the opportunity to visit a place like Alaska. Lord, allow me to live there. You follow the Lord, no telling where he'd go. With Chris Hewitt, he said it recently, he said, give God your bucket list.
Yeah.
Let him fulfill those things, do what he wants, just follow the Lord. You take one step of faith, he'll carry you for the next 10. Sometimes it feels that way. Just follow him and live for him his abundant life. I've been the route most young people are on today, looking for a career. I did that. And the Lord blessed, and we gave to mission. The Lord blessed us and took care of us. And we were 60, Lord blessed. We're doing well. I was 23 and making $32 an hour, a diesel mechanic, doing well. Lord blessed. And you can make money and do those things. But I can tell you, there's nothing that compares to living for the Lord. Young people, you will never regret giving your life to the Lord. There's nothing that compares living for him. You can chase money, you can chase sports, or whatever it is you want to do. I promise you, there's nothing that compares to giving your life to the Lord. A lot of folks today, even the songs today, many times they seem to focus on us, on self, and battles and hardships and all these things. And I understand there's going to be there's always battles everywhere. There's battles if you're lost, there's battles if you're saved. We just like to focus on them more if we're saved many times. There's battles for everybody. I heard one preacher say, he said, I wouldn't recommend the ministry to anybody. I'm telling you, I promise, there's battles, of course. There's nothing in this life I'd rather do than live for the Lord. There's nothing, I promise you, there's nothing in this world I'd rather do than live for the Lord. Nothing that compares to it. This life is anything but boring. If your life is boring, you're not doing it correctly. Do something for the Lord. Abundant life, he says. So what's the point here this morning? Well, he's saying that Jesus is coming to the sheepfold. He's now taking position as the door. He is the door. He's the only way you're going to get to heaven. To those on the outside of the sheepfold looking in, he's simply a door. But to those on the inside of the sheepfold, once you come through that door, he's a whole lot more than just a door. He says in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. To those on the outside, he's a door. Just a door you have to go, just a blockade from getting what you want to have. It's just something that hinders what you want to do. Oh, but friend, if you could see him from where I see him, he's a whole lot more than just a door. He's a good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The least we could do is live our life for him. He's a good shepherd, not just a door. He's not just blocking the entrance. He's protecting the sheep on the inside. And he's caring for the sheep and leading and guiding and directing the sheep. To those on the outside of the sheepfold, it may look like we're trapped here on the inside of this sheepfold. Just crazy people going to church on Sunday mornings and crazy people knocking on doors and hanging flyers, all these things. You're crazy. If you could see him from where I see him, he's a whole lot more than just a door. He's a whole lot more than just a sheepfold that you're looking at. He's a good shepherd, the Bible says. People didn't look at me, they don't understand. I hate when people ask me, well, where are you from or what do you do for a living? That's a long story. You sit down for a while. People always like to ask us questions like that. People don't understand many times. And if you're not saved, you're not going to understand living for the Lord. We were moving to Alaska, and we gave up our job and sold our house and family land, all these things. People I worked with, they didn't understand. They told me I was crazy, leaving something like that, leaving the house and all these things to move to Alaska. And leaving Alaska this past time, in business, we had to land, all these things. They told we were crazy. Now the will of God, moving away from people that were not in the church, moving away from something like that. If you could just see him from where I see him. He's a whole lot more than just a door. He's a good shepherd. The problem is, many times, we're often trusting money and business opportunities, all these things. If you could just see him from where I see him. He's a good shepherd. He's not just a door, he's a good shepherd. Verse number 12. But he is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not. Seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because the hireling careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, he says it again, and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. Others would flee when trouble comes, he says. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, will never leave thee nor forsake thee, the Bible tells us. Why? The hireling flee because he's a hireling. Jesus doesn't flee because he paid the price for the sheep. He bought you with a price. He's not going to just flee when trouble comes. Buddha, he can't save you. He's dead. Confucius, he can't save you. He's dead. The Pope, he can't save you. A few minutes, he'll probably be dead too. He's pretty old. But we see the good shepherd here. He has given his life for the sheep. Buddha wouldn't die for you. Confucius wouldn't die for you. Joseph Smith or Charles, all these men, they would not die for your soul. But Jesus Christ, the great God of heaven, the created universe, sits high on the throne of heaven. He came and gave his life for you. Why? So he could be the door and be your good shepherd. Hebrews calls him the great shepherd. There's one great shepherd. His name is Jesus. The only one that died for you and rose again. Verse 17. Therefore, we'll come back to verse 16 in a minute. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me because I lay down my life and I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received of my Father. He didn't just die for you. He shed his blood and rose again for you. Why? Because it was commanded to him by the Father. It was God, the Father's will for his Son to die for you. Because he loves you. The good shepherd. Verse 16, we skipped over that. Another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. We understand that he's in person, he's talking to his Jews here. He said there's other sheep I must bring. These other sheep I have. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about me and you as Gentiles. I said, we'll have the gospel in this generation. These other sheep, that's me and you. There's dirty Gentile dogs. That's nobodies. We aren't God's chosen people. We aren't Hebrews. We don't have the rich history and heritage they have. We don't have the door and the port of the law, all those things. God is outside of time, and he's standing and preaching to these Jews. He said, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. There should be one fold and one shepherd. We're not done. God's not done with Israel. Jesus is going to come back. Understand those things. And we're not replacing Israel. But God gave us an opportunity to be saved. Another sheep I have. Why did he do that? It's because he loves us and he wanted to. We don't deserve any bit of that. But he gave us opportunity because he's a good shepherd. All the way back there in John, Jesus could see all that. All the ones that would be saved and will be saved and be saved this week. He could see those things all the way back there in the book of John. He said, another sheep I have, all the way down there in 2022, and them also must bring. There should be one fold and one shepherd. We may not have the law. To be honest, I'm thankful I'm not living under the law. Thankful living in the day of grace. We may not have the rich heritage they do. We have something a whole lot better. We have Jesus Christ. The good shepherd. We said there should be one fold and one shepherd, adopted and grafted in. We don't deserve any bit of it. The same Jesus can save a Jew, the same Jesus can save me and you. We don't deserve one bit of it. We have an opportunity this morning. We're nothing special, just a bunch of sinners. God saw fit to give us an opportunity. Maybe you're saved this morning. Who is he to you? Maybe you're not saved this morning. Have you ever been saved this morning? Are you standing on the outside looking in? Are you wondering why the sheep in here in this church seem to have so much peace when all you see is just a door and a sheepfold and a fence? Is he just a door to you? I'm thankful he's the door. I'm thankful he's willing to let me in. I'm thankful he's keeping me in. I couldn't get out if I wanted to. He's keeping me. I'm thankful he's the door. I'm thankful he's still saving souls today. People can still get, the gospel still works today. If it didn't, we wouldn't be here anymore because he'd be done. His gospel still works, still have a job to do. He's still the door. I'm thankful he's the door. But there's so much more to this thing than him just being my door. He's a good shepherd. He's not just something I walk through. He's something that keeps me in, something that leads and guides and directs me. He gives you abundant life, he says. This life is anything but boring. If you could see him the way I see him, he's not just a door. He's a good shepherd. He's not just a good shepherd. He's a friend, the Bible says. What a friend we have in Jesus. A song, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Who is he to you this morning? Is he just a door? Are you sitting on the outside looking in, wondering what all these sheep are doing in here? Maybe you're on the inside and you're looking back at the door. Turn to Psalms chapter 23, if you would. Psalms 23. Very well-known chapter here, probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I don't even remember memorizing this chapter. When I was very young, I memorized this chapter. Many of you probably did as well. Very well known. I'm going to read it to you. This Psalms 23 here, before we get started, this Psalms 23, it's a picture of a sheep talking about his shepherd in verse 3 verses. The last 3 verses talking to his shepherd directly. We see that picture here. He says in verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley, shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a beautiful psalm that is, and a picture from a sheep talking about his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How much contentment we can find in that verse. The sheep here and the shepherd. Oftentimes they're out in the field with the shepherd, but then they're back in the sheepfold with the shepherd. What's something that's never mentioned in this passage? David, the psalmist, the sheep, is talking about the shepherd and all about what his shepherd is and what he does for him, how he cares for him. He not one time mentions any sheepfold or fence or door. Why is that? Because he's watching the shepherd. Good. Many folks in our day are watching the walls, watching the doors, watching the sheepfold, watching the fence. Especially amongst us independent Baptists, especially young people, want to walk the fence, watch the fence, see how they can sneak out and get out. Young person, old, whoever it is, if you keep your eyes on the shepherd, the sheepfold don't matter.
That's right.
You ain't worried about the walls. You ain't worried about the door and the fence and what's keeping you in, what's keeping you out. You're just worried about watching the shepherd. I mean, as close to the shepherd as you possibly can be. I promise you, if you focus on the shepherd, the rest of it's not going to matter very much to you. He is really all that matters. It's all about him. It's all about, what are you focused on this morning? Who is he to you? Is he a door? Is he something you haven't been through? Have you not been saved this morning? Maybe you are saved. Maybe you're just watching the walls. Maybe you just want to get out. The first chance you get, you're gone. Who is he to you this morning? Who are you focused on this morning? He is a door. He's a good door. He lets you in. There's a whole lot more than just that. He's a great shepherd, Hebrews says. Who is he to you? Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all you've done for us today. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I pray you help this church this morning. Lord, I pray you will be done in the next few minutes. Lord, I pray you help us today in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.